Welcome to Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Robert.
And I'm Ruth Ann.
And we'll be your hosts for the next hour. In this show, we have a very special guest, and we'll get to her in just a moment. Before we get to the interview, I'd like to take a moment to remind you of the various ways you can listen to our show. Shows are available 24 hours after broadcast on wellroundedcorners.com. You can like us on Facebook. We post all of our upcoming videos there. Just search Well-Rounded Corners on Facebook. Or you can go to wellroundedcorners.com and click on the Facebook link on the side and like us. And as I mentioned, we had a special guest. Ruth Ann, did you want to introduce her?
Well, yes. We have Michelle Avanti with us, and we are so happy to have her.
Yeah.
Yes. She is one of our favorite guests. Well, I shouldn't say that, but, you know. and Michelle, you know, Robert has...
I have your bio. Okay, I didn't know if you...
bio, and I could say so many wonderful things,
but since he has
the official information, I'll turn it over to him.
We had a little mix-up. I didn't know that she... Okay, I've got the bio anyway. Michelle is a published certified planetary systems analyst, consulting metaphysician, and ordained minister. Since 1972, she has taught and consulted in many areas of metaphysics. She has a book, Grihi, hope I say that right, Grihi, The Journey of Five, I think I did, it has won three awards,
yeah.
Best Juvenile Fiction and Visionary Fiction. So we have a master astrologer, metaphysician, and author with us. It's our pleasure to have on again Michelle Avanti. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much. It's so much fun.
So it's been a while since we've had you on, but it's so awesome to reconnect with you again. What's been going on in your world?
Well, you know, the world overall is going through a major frequency update. And back on December the 21st of 2012 until about July the 28th or 29th of this year, it's a period of time where everything is just picked up frequency. We continue to work through breaking new barriers in our own spiritual evolution and the frequency of the planet itself and, of course, the solar system. So as we move forward during this period in time, it's about belief systems more than anything that we need to start clearing up. So ancient belief systems are rising, and every individual is probably experiencing that in some way. We may find it more issues of fears than probably anything else, because when we go back in terms of tribal understanding, we experienced life to protect ourselves. It was fear action. So what people are probably experiencing more than anything will be some primal types of fears surfacing in their world during this period in time. And it's a period in time where we're to release those and move forward, go beyond them. Because in order to manifest a world that would be a world of the law of one, a world that is a world of peace, we have to let go of all the levels of fear. We have to remove the reactive process and begin to work from a basis of love, which is a responsive process. So that's what I see happening during this time. Personally, I'm working on book two and a whole bunch of other little things, and certainly working with clients as well. So,
yeah, that's great about your book. We were talking about that a little off air, and you, it's so nice to have on another author, and that's great. I love your book website. We need to get that linked up there too. Ruth Ann, I hope I didn't step on. You were going to say something there.
Well, I was just going to. That's interesting. I guess you heard me, and I hadn't said anything. But
maybe you're
on the right show, right?
There you go.
Seriously, Michelle, I think that's interesting. You were talking about fear and how prevalent that is. It seems to me the clients and even the students I have, everyone I work with, it seems that everything comes back. All the issues come back to fear, and when you can release the fear, then the other issues just seem to fall away. And I think that's sad in a way that there's so much fear. But on the other hand, you know, it's amazing to me that it always seems to come back to that.
Yeah, it really is. There's a couple of things that people don't actually look at or equate with what's going on at the more mundane level in their life, you know, rushing off to work, feeding the children, making sure that, you know, your car is working and your computer's working and all these myriad numbers of little things that seem to take up our experience. But at the same time, we're actually working on processing out these primal fears. And we don't really necessarily understand sometimes where it's coming from. I was talking to a client the other day, and she said, "Well, I don't know. You know," she said, "my son was having a problem at school, and he's just this amazing athlete and an amazing kid. He's a very loving child, and he was being bullied not by kids in his own class, but kids in a higher class than him, and it was really just tearing her up inside that she was having this experience through her child." And when I picked it apart a little bit, what I brought her back to was her own childhood and how she grew up in a dysfunctional family, and who didn't, but different degrees of dysfunction. But her family was a family that had a certain amount of violence that took place in it. And I said, "So what's happened? What happens with you? You were also bullied in school. But more importantly, you were bullied at home. And what's happening is a whole issue of isolation starts to take place. As a child, you were taught to isolate the family. You didn't talk about the family. It was a secret. You couldn't tell everyone that when you went home, you could be beat up. So outside you had this face that you kept, but inside there was a terror that was hidden. And that fear comes back up and asserts itself when you see something happening that may be violent towards your child. Now you take it back many lifetimes back." I said, "And your response is you isolate yourself." She said, "That's what I've been doing." She said, "I've been going through this experience for several weeks where I don't want to connect with anybody. I just am in a state of panic and anxiety." And she said, "And my son, I'm seeing that he does the same thing. He doesn't want to go to school. He doesn't want to be around anybody." I said, "And that is a primal fear. It's going all the way back to when we were tribe people. And what we did, we were afraid of what was out there that was unknown. We isolated the tribe. And should anyone come close, it was a reactive thing. We didn't take our hand and stick it out and say, 'Hey, how are you?' We fought them off." These are the issues that are so deep inside the subconscious that need to come out now and be released, so we can take the next step. It's a much higher frequency, and that can no longer be part of the picture.
You know, Michelle, and I think that's true. What about the more mundane level? You know, I talk to everybody that I talk to, and I'm trying to think of a single exception, and I can't. And I don't ask about this. You know, it just comes. I don't go and ask everybody, like, "Hey, what are your thoughts on the world and just the things?" You know, and I don't really necessarily ask that. But people say, and there's a sense of anxiety is not really the right word, and really fear isn't either. Maybe there is some fear at some level, but it's not necessarily manifest right now. But everybody just sort of living more on edge, you know,
like an unease.
Yeah, a disease, you know. That the next shoe is going to drop, and not necessarily in their personal lives or anything, but just sort of more in general. You know, I get this almost universally from people I talk to. I'm sure that you'll agree that you've kind of felt this too, or see this, or, you know, in clients. What are your thoughts on that?
We're in a point of transition. And there is an unsteadiness, and yes, that is a kind of fear. It's not as personalized when you're looking at it more as a global issue. You don't understand what the next step is going to be because we are not running on a path that we are used to running on. We've gone through periods or cycles where we've been in a steady space, And as a nation, America, it was in a steady space for quite a long time, and then it started to shake down. As we entered this century, it started to change. And at this point in time, we're living in such a radically different kind of experience. We don't know what to expect. So that fear issue is a global situation. We're watching it happen in Europe. We don't get the information from China, but it's happening in China. It's really happening all over the world. This also has to do with the change in frequency. It's still bringing up the issues of where do we live in terms of trust, and where do we live in terms of making what is outside of us the reality. There's two parts to how we live. There's actually more than two, but there's two very significant parts to how we live. There is the part that lives out here in this physicality and interacts at a social level with our community, our family, and our state, our nation, and then the world community. But then we have another side that is our spiritual self that operates between this world and the world where soul itself stays. It's a space of and not only nonviolence, but it's a space of no darkness. It's a space of pure light. And that energy is constantly streaming through us when we allow it. And when we step into any form of fear and we look outside and we say, oh, my gosh, well, what's going to happen? What if we don't pay our bills as a nation? What if this sequester issue goes on? What if? And there's so many what ifs. It can be locally, you know, our economy is failing locally, or our state is going bankrupt, or my business that I'm working in may not be around next year. They don't seem to be making as good a profit. So there's so many levels. But as individuals, we have to learn to shift into that spiritual space to come into balance. Because the higher part of who we are has a complete 360-degree viewpoint. It understands where this lifetime falls and this time frame in creation falls in the sequence or the tapestry of this universe. It has an understanding of that. So when we trust who we are, we don't come to that point of such discomfort, where we feel at a loss what will happen next.
That's quite eloquently put.
Yes, I think I've been seeing a lot of the conflict that you're between those parts of us. It seems to me that a lot of the people I've come into contact with lately, some are saying, you know, I'm feeling things I've never felt. I seem to be so much more aware of energy around me or what the people near me are thinking or doing or feeling, and I've never felt that way, and it's scary. Is something wrong with me? Or they may be the opposite and feel that they have to shut down because there's just so much input. And I think it's really interesting that there are many people I've spoken with lately who I would not have expected to say things to me like, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, when I'm in the grocery store, I feel everybody around me, and it's just, it's really hard. What can I do to feel more comfortable? And these are people that, you know, usually wouldn't even be aware anyone was standing near them, you know. And are you seeing that too, Michelle, or is that just our area?
That is absolutely what's happening. This space that we have, that we've been living in for so many thousands of years, this third dimensional space, we hit that point of the 26,000-year point. We are in the space called the galactic center. We are moving through the galactic center. And in this space, which happens only once every 26,000 years, the energy from the higher levels actually is more focused. So the frequencies of that higher level focus within our world to a much stronger degree. It's like the spotlight has been over in the corner for quite a while, and we've been working around around it. And very rarely, every now and then, some guru stands in the spotlight and we all go, oh, that's wonderful. And then they're gone and we don't really pay attention. Well, right now at that 26,000 year point, the spotlight is key. It's here. It's right on all of us. And some people completely start releasing, and as they do, the thinness of the veil becomes very obvious to them, even though they don't understand it. So they start to move into a sequence where they feel and know things that they before had closed off. That's part of moving to a higher frequency, because as we move forward, we're actually leaping into the ability to penetrate another dimension. That means that our senses expand, what we call now the sixth sense that most people don't understand, will become common. So it's a worldwide thing. It's not one group of people. However, the way consciousness changes, wherever there is a lot of light put in, and light comes a lot of different ways, so I don't want anyone to think, oh, it's only metaphysicians or only people who call themselves New Age or metaphysical or light workers. No, not at all. Anyone who aligns themselves with their higher self, and this is done simply through focus. How do we focus? We focus through prayer. We focus through doing good in the world. We focus through service. We focus through aligning ourselves with some form of what we would call light.
Compassion. You know, just
absolutely. Compassion.
Having love,
and you
love
can
and compassion.
See it developing. It's not the thing that's on the front of the news. What's on the front of the news is all an aggregate of all the power consciousness that's striving to maintain itself. But
you know,
that's
interesting.
That you'll see the development of peace in a lot of places, new ways to work in the physicality. We are trying very hard to bring back the true power. Power centuries ago was removed from what is powerful and placed on an inanimate, intangible that we call money. Real power is love, and that's what we are working to transform back to.
That is so very well put. We're going to take a break here, and I want to tell our listeners we're going to be taking calls. Well, I say we're going to be taking calls. Michelle is going to be taking calls, and you know, we set on the Facebook page a mini archaeological astrological reading. You could have an astrological or archaeological reading too, I guess, but it takes a little time to prepare that, so you know, just be patient with us, but I'm going to go ahead and give the number. You can call in over the break. The number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're not comfortable with, if you don't want to call in, but you still want to have Michelle, do a little astrological reading here, you can message us on Facebook. If you go to our Well-Rounded Corners page, you can just send us a message, and we can do it, completely anonymously. What is it, if they do message us, so what is it that you need, Michelle, from people?
Well, if someone really wants information, it doesn't matter what your name is. You can give us Mickey Mouse. We're perfectly content with that. But we need the date of your birth. In other words, the month, the day and the year. And I need the place where you were born. So if you were born in Glendale, California, you would have to tell me that, or Rome, Italy, or wherever. And then I also need the exact time, and as close to exact as possible, a.m. or p.m., 6:22 p.m., that will help me. Then I will take that information, I will place it into my computer program and be able to bring up a wheel that tells me about your life.
Okay. All right. Let's do that when we get back from the break. Let me give that number again just so we can call in, 888-627-6008. We'll be right back with Michelle Avanti.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as the Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's Alabama, R-E-I-K-I.com.
And welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. We are lucky enough to have with us tonight Michelle Avanti. And she has offered to do some free mini astrological readings here.
Excuse me, Rob. I just have to say, Michelle, that what you have told me in the past on our show about, you know, my life and so forth and the insights you've given me, I just have to say that I'm always excited to have you on. I think you are amazing. And some of the things you've said to me personally, you know, on the air, really mostly, have been just scary accurate. I mean, it's scary and a good scary, not a bad scary. And I just appreciate that so much. It's really actually been really useful, and I appreciate that. And so anybody who wants to call in, you know, or send us a message, please do, because she's amazing. And, you know, it's wonderful to have someone who is educated in the subject and so intuitive, and you put them together and you just get wonderful information.
Well, I'm always honored. And, you know, I find astrology is so incredibly valuable. It gives insights that it can take years and years for someone going to therapy to even begin to find. And yet a good astrologer can look at a chart and pinpoint it in seconds. And a metaphysically directed astrologer can actually pinpoint past life influences very quickly as well. And these are the things, I think, that are hidden from us. We don't see them. We don't understand why we're driven a certain way. Where an astrologer can help us identify why we're driven that way and therefore give us some direction as to how we can work with whatever is challenging us. It also gives us great time frames. So, you know, where you may be sitting on edge going, am I going to get well? Am I going to get my job back? Is my house ever going to sell? Will my child ever have a child? And it goes on, long list of things that people have in their lives that they stand in a space of challenge with. Astrology usually can pinpoint time frames and say, well, you know, based on what I see here, a strong possibility is that this will change at this point. So you get kind of and understanding that, yeah, the challenge is here, but it's not going to be forever. It's going to change. And it relieves you of the pressure. And we have enough of that in this physicality. So wherever you can get relief, get it.
Absolutely. I know the first time, you know, I used to be kind of skeptical since I was more from the astronomy aspect than the astrology aspect. And then someone looked at my basic chart, natal chart, and mm-hmm. made a few comments to me. And I just, one comment she made was that you need time to recharge and you can't be around people. You need to go spend a little time by yourself and then you'll be fine, you know, with whatever's going on. And I had always felt that there was that was some kind of something wrong with me. Why do I feel so overwhelmed sometimes with people? Even though I'm basically an outgoing person, I also am an introvert in some ways too. And just hearing her say that, it was almost like it gave me permission to be myself. And now I know to say, you know, I need a couple of hours to just have quiet. And then I'm okay. And so that really helped me. And I think the knowledge really is power for us.
I so agree with you. I know, I remember years ago a young man coming and asking me to do his chart. And I remember looking at it and looking at him and saying, you know, I know from your chart that your friends think that you're shallow because you like to be around really beautiful women. And I said to him, it's your nature. Don't beat yourself up about it. And it was like this huge weight just lifted off of him.
It does. It changes how you feel about yourself and then learning about things that are your challenges. And
yes.
I think that really helps because it's like learning something that, as you talked about a moment ago, something that comes from a past life that's still a challenge. When you're aware of what that is, then you have the power, you have that knowledge, and you can choose what you want to do. Instead of just blindly going on and not realizing, oh, this is one of my challenges.
Now, I have to share with you, and this is more metaphysical than an astrological, although this client uses me for both. And she had this experience just, I guess it's a couple of months ago now, where all of a sudden she just had this terrible pain in her neck and she had lost the use of her right arm, and she's right-handed. Mm. And it was not only terrifying. I mean, she went in and the doctor didn't even know exactly what it was and if they could help. And finally, just a few days ago, I guess 2 weeks ago, she went in and they said, well, you know, we have to do surgery because this is a problem with the discs in your neck and they're pinching a nerve and you're going to lose complete use of your arm for the rest of your life if we don't release the pressure now. And so all of this coming out of nowhere, it's not like she had an accident. She didn't have a... You know, nothing happened to her. All of a sudden, this experience was there. And today we looked at that, and the information the spiritual beings gave me, I was just completely and utterly blown away by what they were telling me, because they showed me a nail going into this part of her neck, and I described exactly where it was, and she says, well, that's exactly where the problem is. I says, yeah, well, they're showing me a nail. You were literally, and this is a whole issue of martyrhood, and I explained it to her. I said, this goes back over lifetimes of the consciousness of being a martyr. I said, and you were a martyr, and this was a way that they destroyed you in that particular lifetime, and now it's all being brought back because it's time for you to release the issues of being a martyr. And,
wow.
You know, a lot of us have those issues. We don't realize we have them because they're at a deep subconscious level. But if you go back to ancient times, if you go back to the time of the early Christians, and even before that, but we'll just say the time of the early Christians, martyrdom was the doorway to heaven. And we were taught, we were trained, many, many, many souls that are on this planet were trained that being a martyr is the way to heaven. And so go for it. be a martyr, give up your identity, give up your life, and give up your experience in the physicality. If you go further back in time, you'll find that in the original, a lot of the original language that was perpetrated by those in any kind of a spiritual, if we call it spiritual, religious pathways, they trained us to believe that the physicality, all the things of the physical, were not divine, and therefore they were condemned. And that's why you see, even like in a fundamentalist religion today, they condemn sex, or they condemn, you know, dancing, singing, frivolity, because they are connected to this original belief that the physical is not divine. Therefore, we have to struggle here. We have to deal with it. And then when we die, we have, if we've done right by our path, we get to go to a place of nirvana. So these are issues that are coming to the surface. And this client, I thought, was how that soul that this client is set her up to release this whole history of martyrdom that goes throughout her many lifetimes, was through this experience, which will probably take her a good year and a half to really heal her arm so she can work normally again.
That's a wow, that's quite an injury, or, you know, why it's not, I guess, an injury, yeah. I guess you could,
yeah,
too.
It's an injury that had no known, till we sat down, had no known understanding where it came from. The doctors couldn't put it anywhere.
Right. Yeah, that's wow, that's quite an amazing story. You know, a lot of people think that, and I've had people, you know, I've had people that didn't really believe in astrology or whatever, you know, say that, you know, how could a planet or how could a star have influence on someone? And, you know, that's such a, on the face of it, it's kind of a funny question, because it sort of answers itself in a lot of ways. Number one, I mean, I guess they forget that, you know, we're on a planet and it's rotating around. And it if you don't think it influences you, then, you know, there's something wrong. And the sun has a tremendous amount of influence on us. And this is just on a quote-unquote physical level. The moon, you know, has been proven over and over to have countless moments of, you know, countless effects on us. So all these things, I mean, if the moon can have an effect on us, then surely the sun can. If the, you know, if all these different things in the solar system do, it is self-evident that these things can affect us. And it, you know, I maintain that if astrology is really just something that isn't, you know, provable or whatever, then why does it seem to connect with so many people? I mean, you know, you did my chart on the air, you know, last time you were on, and it was, you know, very accurate. And, you know, Ruth Ann's was very accurate. And it's not that they were both the same, because they weren't, you know, and it just was. And so I see this repeatedly, and I think the question answers itself, but what are your thoughts on that? Because I'm sure you hear that, you know, from
people. Well, you know, it wasn't till the last century that anyone even understood resonance. But if you go back in time to the very, very early times on this planet, we really didn't, well, we didn't have television, we didn't have telephones, we didn't have lights, we had fire. And what we did at night was looked up at the night sky, and we developed mythology of the stories of what we saw in the configurations of constellations, which are stars in other solar systems, not that we understood that at that time, but they create certain patterns in the sky. And those cosmic patterns, we had nothing better to do than to tell stories. So we created stories and a whole world of mythology. Well, where did the stories come from? Where do any stories come from? Where did your story come from that you're writing? They come from a higher level of consciousness. They come from an intuition, an imagination, a doorway to another realm. So it's fascinating how we drove that information into our records. And that was the basis where we began with the stories of the consciousness of the sky and how it related to man in the physicality. And then astronomy began, and people started to witness how the movement of the planets had a relationship to events that took place on Earth. And this is where, out of astronomy, was born astrology. And the myths that were spoken of for centuries before about each of these constellations became aligned, because they found that in those stories, those myths that were intuitively brought forward, they found that they had a relevance. Those stories actually had a relevance. They found that when some activity took place in that particular constellation, what happened on Earth connected to that story. How does this happen? How does this work? There was no understanding of it or complete awareness of why. They simply went along. And that's actually how science develops. It simply goes along. It goes out and finds something and says, oh, look, that's a different bird than we've ever seen. What kind of bird could that be? What does it do? And it begins the research to find out. Astrology worked the same way for thousands and thousands of years. It's all hindsight. It's all a matter of research. But it wasn't until the last century that we started to understand resonance. What is resonance? Resonance is a connection that takes place that is completely unseen. You can't look at it, put your hand on it. It's not a wire, but it's something that causes someone, for example, a physical body, to resonate or to respond or react to a pattern that may be taking place in another electromagnetic body that may be light years away from that physical body. And that's what astrology is about. It's about a resonance. From the moment the soul comes into the physicality, when it takes its very first breath, the electromagnetic patterns are left on the DNA from the positioning of every star in our solar systems and universe, many of which we don't understand or know at this point because our consciousness is not expanded enough to take it in. But we do know our planets within our solar system, and we do know about 70, we have the stories of at least 70 fixed stars, which are suns in other solar systems. All of these things resonating and leaving a mark in our DNA, which leaves a mark in our consciousness. And that's what the study of astrology does, is it looks at those patterns. And then it looks at the new configurations, because the planets never stop moving, and we never stop moving, and our solar system never stops moving. So all of these things are moving in their own way, and when they make a geometrical connection to the originating pattern on the DNA of the individual, there is a resonance. And this is what astrology attempts to explain.
That was the most eloquent and informational description of astrology I've ever heard. That was so helpful to me, sitting here even now, trying to answer in my head the question that Robert was asking. And I think you said that so well that cleared up. I don't know. It finished the rest of the story for me. And I appreciate that description so well, so much. That was just so clear. Don't you think, Robert?
Yeah, I think that really explains it well. I mean, it's tough to sometimes see why, you know, I think for some people, why certain things are connected to us. But, you know, I work from the premise that everything is connected.
Yes.
You know, to me, it would be a better question to ask, let's find things that aren't connected. That would,
with
you know,
that.
Yeah, I don't think you'll find them. But I mean, you know, I think the list of what is greatly dwarfs what isn't. And by I say greatly dwarfs, I mean, probably it's nothing. Because, you know, everything in the universe is interrelated. So it just sort of follows from that for me. I mean, but you know, I understand some. If you come at it from a certain mindset, you could say that, you know, gosh, I don't understand, you know. But when you explain it like that, and you explain about how things are connected, resonance, you know, and you look at it from that level, it definitely makes sense. Of course, if you look at it from a metaphysical standpoint, it astrology is the mathematical background of a lot of this stuff. And I, you know, I think a lot of people are interested in it. And I think, and I know we found this out in some shows, that some people are a little timid to come on the air, and I definitely understand that. So that's why I suggested just message us on Facebook. You can give us your information there. I'll give the number again too, just because, you know, some may not have it. It's 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. But you can just send us your information on Facebook, and you can just send us a message, a private message. You don't have to post it publicly. That's totally fine. While I'm, you know, there's several people, my grandmother, for example, who we don't know her birthday. I'm sorry, we know her birthday. We don't know her birth date. We know where she was born. We know, you know, but we just don't know her birth date. Is it possible to deal with that kind of scenario? Because, you know, I could give you her birth date. I could give you where she was born, but I can't tell you the time. What do you do in that situation?
Actually, you know, what astrologers do, there's a couple of things that you can do. One, astrologers will take the time to rectify a chart, and we call it rectifying. And so there you would sit with the client, and you would ask them a whole lot of questions, because when we rectify, the events of your life will connect to certain transits of planets. So when we ask for key events that have taken place in your life, births, deaths, marriages, graduations, big jobs, accidents, it goes on and on. The person gives us a long list of these, and then we take the date, and we just start it with a noon chart, and then we start to move the whole wheel around till we come to a time where every one of those dates plugs in properly. And we call that rectification. And it can take a little time to do that. It depends on how good the astrologer is, and it depends on how good the information is. I remember years ago I had a man who wanted me to do his chart, and he didn't know the time he was born, but he had had an accident that changed his life forever, and he was staring at the clock when the accident happened. He was driving a pickup truck, and a huge truck, one of these big carrier trucks, hit him sideways and dismantled his truck, changed his life, crippled him. But he was staring at the clock, so he knew the day and the time exactly. And it didn't take me 15 minutes to get him the chart that was his chart. But that's one method. Another method is to simply use the charts of the people that person has in their life that are connected to them. For example, if it's your grandma, we would have to go forward through your chart a number of links, and then we would turn your chart around to where one of the houses actually represented your grandmother. And when we do that, then we're able to look at her life through your chart. Usually you do it with a mother and a child, or a husband and a wife, because that's the easiest way to do it. The mother or father and the first child is the fastest and easiest way to do it. But that works really well, too. I remember years ago I had a woman come, and she didn't have her daughter's information at the time, and she wanted to know if her daughter was going to... She was in a big show in Las Vegas, and her daughter was the lead in the show, and they were doing something. They decided they were going to make everybody topless in the show, and her daughter did not want to go topless. And so her mother was asking me, will she lose her job if she says no? And I was able to, through her chart, look, and I was able to give her the information that if she held out for, I think it was about 3 months, that she would not only not lose her job, but she would never have to go topless. Hmm. And that's exactly what happened. So she never did go topless, and she stayed the lead in that show.
I had no idea that you could do all that if you didn't have someone's birth time. That is amazing.
Which is kind of a neat thing, because, you know, not only do you get to know astrology that you wouldn't otherwise been able to know, but you'd also out of that be able to arrive at what time you're born, which is, you know, an interesting bit of knowledge in and of itself. I mean, that's pretty
cool. You can. When you look through someone else's chart, you don't actually come up with the time, but when you do the rectification, you do.
Yeah, right.
That is amazing.
I mean, that's you know, that could be really helpful. So in multiple ways. So definitely.
Had a woman come to me one time, and she was born, I believe, if I remember correctly, was in Indonesia or the Philippines or Malaysia, somewhere over there, and she had no idea. She only knew she was born in the monsoon season, and that spans 3 months. She didn't even have a date of birth.
Oh wow.
And she had 3 children and a husband, and I was able to look at her chart through their charts with no problem.
That
so then you were able to tell her birthday, essentially, right?
Well, no, I couldn't actually tell her birthday, because to rectify when you don't even have a day, that would really be a work of art.
Well, but were you able to narrow it down?
It'd be too expensive to the client, you know.
Well, were you able to narrow it down to maybe getting her sun sign or?
No.
You were able to give her
I could look through a child's chart or her husband's chart, and I could tell her what was going to be happening in her life and the challenges, and I could give her everything you would give a person with a natal chart. You just couldn't give her a date.
So it's really important. Of course, now I think on all birth certificates they put the time, and that's really helpful. But, I mean, I guess they didn't always. And it's... you know, it's good for parents to give that information to their children if they can remember it, to make sure they know that, because that's helpful.
What I usually tell people who don't have the time is to ask your aunts and uncles, any family member that you can think of, when they got the phone call, what were they told? What time of day did the phone call come in? Because, you know, that kind of gives a lot of clues if the parents, you know, a mother who's had a lot of Demerol might not remember the time of day. She might remember when she got in there, but she doesn't remember when she gave birth, if it was 7 or 10 or 13 hours later.
Yes, my husband's time is not on his birth certificate. And he asked his mother, and she said, "I don't know. It was a long time ago, and I was busy at the time."
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I thought that was a good answer.
That's why I say ask everyone around, because, you know, they usually will remember. And in the last century, in the early parts of the last century, most people wrote it in their Bibles. So-and-so was born at this time. And that's
all
where
right.
the records frequently
yes,
are. But you also get people who are adopted, and they honestly don't know when they were born. They don't know. Some of them don't know where they were born. And that really causes some difficulties, because until they actually have a child or get married, we have no chart to look at.
Oh.
I have a friend they're actually messaging me. I'm trying to get the time here. Let's see here. I've got the day.
What's the date?
Yeah, I've got the, let's see. Okay. Yeah. All right. It is August 10th,
1982. And the time?
The time is 7:49 a.m.
7:49 a.m. And the place?
Florence, Alabama.
And forgive me if I'm a little slow, because I've had eye surgery and... It's been quite the challenge that I've had. So I'm not like my normal self, which is normally I'm so fast it's ridiculous. But
no, I hope you're recovering.
Okay, does this person have any particular question they want to ask? I have a wheel up, so.
You see, you're faster than me. I'm doing this through typing, so it's a little slower.
Thank you. I feel good about myself.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, let's see, does he have a question or she have a question? You didn't tell me.
I don't know if she has a question yet. I'm waiting on that. But if you do you, I don't know if you can just look at it. General snapshot
too,
of what's going on.
While you're waiting for the question.
Yeah.
You know, right off the bat, you know, we can see that Jupiter is at the midheaven. It's recently gone over her progressed moon. It is a woman, right? Did you say it was a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Robert?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
A woman.
At any rate, this is a nice statement, you know, having Jupiter go over the moon. There's some opportunity that may have opened up in terms of career. There could have been an opportunity that came through a relationship, a one-on-one relationship, whether it was through a marriage or a marriage partner, or it could have come through the mother. It could have been a piece of property that opened up, and they may have had an opportunity through their career to actually expand on having a piece of property or expand on that property. But some wish or dream may have manifested over this last month or so, a couple of months, within the last couple of months. And that's a lovely statement. Jupiter is going to continue to make a nice sextile to the sun, the natal sun of this individual. Unfortunately, they're not feeling that great about themselves. So with a progressed sun right at 17, making a semi-sextile to the natal sun, which is in the 12th house. When we have a sun in the 12th house, and it's the sun in Leo, so it is strong. This is a strong individual, despite the fact that the sun is in the 12th. But when we have the sun in the 12th, it can be difficult. This is what we started this conversation with earlier today, I think, when I was talking about martyrdom. When we have the sun in the 12th, we can have this feeling that we've been a martyr, or we can find ourselves sabotaging ourselves by feeling like we're a martyr or martyring ourselves in some way. So there is a lot of strength in this individual, though, so they probably come out on top anyway. Beautiful trine action between their moon and sun, so it indicates the mother and father loved each other, and this gives the individual a doorway out of that martyrdom through the feminine side and through the creative process and through having children and through sex for procreation as well as for fun. There's a beautiful statement there, and that's always a lovely thing to see. There is also a grand trine action with Neptune, so a highly intuitive individual, emotionally very creative, can have a wonderful, it's kind of like a doorway to other worlds is the statement, and the ability to reach through and gather knowledge from past lives, from things that other people might find hidden. A very strong, fiery, creative, I'd say a really cool person. I like it. So that's a doorway that's put into place by soul, so they have this enormous strength and will pull them out of this issue of martyrdom. Mercury is very close to the ascendant in the natal chart, and Venus right progressed is right basically on top of it. So there is a love of communication, a love of details, a love of the specifics, and that could be a love of speaking and writing and getting down to what they really value, which can be the past, it can be the truth about themselves, it can be their roots, it can also be things that are normally hidden. So there's some really lovely statements there. And there is a beautiful activity between this progressed Venus and their natal Mars and natal Jupiter, and Mercury is also active with them. So this is a person who loves learning and really loves to follow the mystery. Take advantage and through the thought process, through the communication process, to learn more and to get to what is the basics behind the world, behind power, behind control, behind what is really truly spiritual. There's a whole lot of things there, and with Venus right now, it's bringing more of that love and and more of that opportunity to understand, there can be a real hands-on individual as well. So it may be that they may be writing at this time. They could be doing some kind of writing, journaling, maybe something that they're going to later, they may decide to publish. But whatever it is, it brings a healing to them and can also help them to heal others. So there's a whole lot of things that may be going on now, and that continues over this. It's been going on probably for the last year and will continue for at least one more year, probably 2 years is what it looks like to me. So those are just a few statements.
Yeah, no, that from just describing her, that's definitely spot on. As she was asking, you mentioned something that there's a new opportunity or new relationship coming up at some point. If I interpreted that correctly, she couldn't hear the first bit of it.
It wasn't so much a relationship as it was that some opportunity may have just recently come up in the last few months that might have had to do with her career, that might have expanded her home or expanded an opportunity for property or expanded her knowledge of her mother or learned from her mother or expanded her opportunity in terms of dreams of her mother or dreams of property. But it wasn't so much about a relationship. If she has an interest in a relationship, we have to wait a little bit because Jupiter is the main or the ancient ruler of her house of marriage. Saturn is the ruler of her house of falling in love. And Jupiter right now is in Gemini. It can't really work with Pisces, so it's like, not happy. But it's going to go into Cancer this summer. And when it does, it's going to make a magnificent trine to her natal Jupiter, her natal Mars, and her progressed Jupiter. So there is some wonderful opportunity that is going to open up in terms of her falling in love with whether it's a person or a subject or a new hobby or could even be, it's probably going to be falling in love with the person, but I don't want to limit it that way because there are some challenges with that. And actually, there is a doorway where she may find herself connecting with a very powerful person even before Jupiter gets into Cancer this summer, because I see that her Saturn is at 17 degrees and it rules the house of love, and Pluto's at 24, and Pluto is in the house of love right now. So this could be coming up. I need to go forward here, and we'll see if I can figure out when it's going to make that connection, because it's a little ways down the road. But we'll just move it forward a little bit, and I'll give you some idea. Here it is. On April the 26th, the doorway opens up, and that doorway will continue till Jupiter hits about 20 degrees, so until about May the 13th, or even a couple of days later than that. I'll take it all the way to May the 16th. So there is a doorway there, and what will happen as that doorway opens, I will say that it could be a connection with a childhood friend, someone that she may have valued as a child, or someone who seems a lot like her dad, may have some relevance in some way. She'll think of him like her dad. And at the same time, it may come through the workplace. It could come through her home. It could come through some internet or audiovisual kind of method or a learning program or a conference that she goes to.
Well, Michelle, excuse me. I'm sorry. We have to wrap things up. Really hate to stop you.
Yeah, I know. It's so beneficial what you're telling her, but I know
it. Thank you so much
for asking. She's off the air, but telling me.
Could you give us your contact information and website and so forth as we go off here?
Sure. MICHELE, Avanti, AVANTI. You can just put it in, and I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I have my own website, MichelleAvanti.com, AstrologyAndMore.com. I'm all over the Internet. Just make sure you spell my first name with one L so you don't end up with the stripper.
All right. Well, we will definitely do
well,
that.
Well, we'll link you on, yes. On when we post this episode. We'll link it.
Go ahead, Robert.
I'm so grateful you came on here and helped our listeners and provide out all the wonderful information. I want to remind everybody, wellrunnedcorners.com, every episode we've ever had, you can download for free in the shows section, shows archive. We'll have this show up within 48 hours, yes. So be sure and look for that. We'll post it on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. That's where we announce all the guests. And Michelle, thanks. It's been
wonderful
again.
And good night, everyone.